Module 6, Listening 1, page 92, exercise 3. You will hear a conservationist called Jane Birch talking about a recent visit she made to Greenland. For questions 1 to 9, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase.
Hi there, my name's Jane Birch, and I'm a conservationist with a particular interest in the polar regions. Recently, I made a trip to Greenland, a fascinating but little visited landmass that lies well within the Arctic Circle. Up to 80% of Greenland is covered in ice, which means that what's happening there is pretty significant in terms of global warming, the melting of the polar ice cap, and the rising sea levels that result. Greenland has an interesting history. Most of today's inhabitants are descendants of people who moved there from what is now Canada in around the 10th century. Scandinavian influences date back to the time of the legendary Viking leader Erik the Red, who coined the name Greenland in an attempt to encourage more settlers to go and live there. Although this ploy didn't meet with much success, today the country has strong political links with Denmark, and Danish is spoken alongside the local language. Although I'm interested in all aspects of life in the polar regions, the real purpose of this trip was to study the Sermek-Kujalleq Glacier, which has recently been granted World Heritage status. Now, I don't know whether it's the most impressive to look at or not, or even whether it's the largest glacier in the world, but what is certain is that it's the most productive. I can see you all look a bit puzzled by that, but if I tell you that each day the quantity of water which is released from the glacier would be enough to provide the population of New York with drinking water for 1 year, then you'll see what I mean. So, the behaviour of the glacier is closely followed, not just because of its scale, but also because it is regarded as a key indicator by those involved in the study of climate change and its effects. Greenland is of particular interest to scientists for various reasons, though, not least because it plays a vital role in global climate regulation. Ice and snow reflect sunlight and help to keep the Earth cool. Studies have shown that levels of snow and ice in the region are diminishing. Ground, which remains frozen all year, known as permafrost, contains vast amounts of methane, a potent greenhouse gas. As temperatures increase, so this land thaws, and this gas is released into the atmosphere, increasing the concentration of greenhouse gases and further exacerbating the problem of global warming. What's more, if the ice on Greenland melted completely, global sea levels would rise by about 7 metres, with dire consequences to low-lying land areas. So the glacier is vital in sustaining levels of sea ice in the Arctic region. I spent several weeks studying the glacier and could recount various white-knuckle rides by dog sled, snowmobile or boat, each memorable in its own way, but none quite measures up to my trip in a helicopter to see the glacier itself at close quarters. Watching the icebergs break away and jostle for position as they flow down the fjord towards the open sea is awesome. You really appreciate the sheer power of nature when faced with such a sight. The locals are expert at reading the ice. You have to be. Icebergs can be very unpredictable. Generally speaking, those with the most veins, long bluish lines running through them, are the most likely to crack if their bottom hits the ocean floor. Approximately 85% of an iceberg is actually under the water, so the tallest are also the deepest, and therefore most likely to tip over in shallow water. While I was there, I was amazed to see a number of locals sailing dangerously close to them. My guide explained that fish gather there, so this is an accepted hazard of those with the job of catching them. I had a great time with the Greenlanders. They were so friendly and so sort of dignified in the way that they were adapting their traditional lifestyles to meet the demands of the modern age. It's tempting to look at polar peoples and allow all sorts of romantic notions to colour your view of them. You know, harking back to a sort of idyllic age when a man living in an igloo would sit over a hole in the ice with his fishing rod, as if that was somehow more genuine or worthwhile. I have no time for that sort of thing. I mean, in Nuuk, the capital, I saw hanging on the same washing line some seal ribs drying ready to be cured as a winter food source, alongside a kid's Batman suit. That image really sticks in my mind, a much more potent symbol of the lives of polar peoples today. So, before I go on to talking about a couple of other elements...
Track 3.